A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, with the power of the Spirit in him, returned to Galilee. His reputation spread throughout the countryside. He taught in the synagogues and everyone praised him. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day as he usually did. He stood up to read and he handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for he has anointed me. He sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the Lord's year of favour." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the assistant and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to speak to them. "This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen." And he won the approval of all, and they were astonished by the gracious words that came from his lips. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the big effects of Christianity in the early days was the popularization of what's called the Codex. A Codex is what we think of as a book. It's rectangular in shape. And the Christian church used it very frequently. In fact, it seems to have been the main force in replacing the old-fashioned scroll. The Codex is practical, being rectangular, easier to hide, easier to store. And one theory about the importance of the Codex is it enabled all four Gospels to be placed in one document. You couldn't do that with scrolls. Scrolls themselves were quite limited in the amount of verbiage they could take. What Christ unfolds in the synagogue in Capernaum is a scroll. And the scroll has certain advantages over the Codex. Since it takes less, it means it's more precise. And it unfolds. As it unfolds, it forces you to concentrate on the single line you can see. A scroll has two rods. One rod at the top, turned. The other rod, you turn both of them, and the scroll proceeds. There's a certain stately manner about it, and scrolls are still used in many modern synagogues. The scroll, too, because of its grandeur, is very popular with Hollywood epic films. Most famously, of course, the original Star Wars, where we're given a brief history of this imaginary empire. It gives a sense of life proceeding, unfolding, passing through. And that sense of life as being recorded in the scroll is found right through to the Book of Revelations. Life is unfolding, life is turning. The scroll, in that sense, represents time itself. Time is unfolding. Christ reads from the scroll, and as he reads from the scroll, he proclaims what is happening. That's the meaning of the sacred scripture. What is happening is passing through life day by day. And everything that happens is that word of God unfolding. And that word of God applies to Christ himself. What he says is happening happens from the moment he reads out the scroll. From that moment, his mission has begun. Not only does it unfold in his life, it unfolds in our life too, in all history. "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for he's anointed me. He sent me to bring the good news to the poor." That continues to happen. "To proclaim liberty to captives, to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free." That's happening all the time. He proclaims the Lord's year of favour. And all time is within that year of favour since he came. The year of favour is a year that unfolds until he comes. Everything he says and does then, from this moment, is the unfolding of time with Christ at the centre of time. As it says in some of the Christmas prayers, came from eternity to join the world of time. Time is sequential. Time has a past, which is hidden, just as what has been read in the scroll is hidden. Time has a future, also hidden before it's unfolded. The moment we live in, the moment we see, is what is living and happening now. But even as it happens, it passes. After each day, there's a new day. We go forward. very beautiful thing that happens in some liturgies. Not my church, because you need a cantor, we don't have one at the moment. But at the Epiphany, after the Gospel, is sung a proclamation of the feast that they come for the year, right through to Pentecost. And the dates are given, at least the months. The months vary, of course, from year to year. And that's also a proclamation of what will happen, the inexorable happening, till Christ comes. And yet it's not inexorable in the sense that there's no freedom or choice. People reject the unfolding of God's purpose. But that too is taken up into his purpose. In fact, in this gospel, almost immediately after, the people rise up, attempt to kill Christ. Trying to kill him, they fail. Because his purpose will unfold in a different way. Here in Galilee, Nazareth, I said Capernaum earlier, that was a mistake, he's in his own hometown. The beginning of the reading of the Isaiah has begun, but does not end. It unfolds to the end of time. Day by day, we are with Christ, we will bring good news to the poor. We'll proclaim liberty to captives. We will give the blind new sight. And all will unfold till the end of time and the return of Christ and the beginning of the kingdom beyond time in eternity.